pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Gets the ball. Melder scored. Melder scored in the corner.
What a beautiful face I have found in this place. This place being Above the Horizontal, a rugby league podcast. I'm your host, Bo Nicholson. Today I am joined by Chris Waring and Kieran Gibson, two former writers at Real Sport. Chris, down in Sydney, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, not bad. It's good to be back on the pod. It's been a minute, but yeah, not too bad. How are you, Bo?
I'm good. It has been a minute. It's probably my fault. I have been gallivanting around Europe, enjoying they call it unsettled weather in England, and I seem to have brought that with me. If you hear any storms in the background, it's storming in Sydney and in Brisbane, so you might hear it on Chris's microphone, my microphone, or Kieran's microphone. Kieran Gibson, how are you going?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. I won't go into detail, but I think I'll just give like a small shout out for if you're feeling any symptoms in your body that don't feel usual, go and see your GP, and if he doesn't listen to you, go get a second opinion.
Indeed. You just told us a bit of a horror story there, but looks like you're on the mend, thank goodness. And a shout out to our other members of the podcast, Miles Steadman, who frankly just didn't give a shit about being here, and Daniel Friend, who is a bit busy this week because he has his wedding this weekend to his lovely fiance Shell. So shout out to Friendy and Shell, and congratulations for this weekend, and hello to Shell's mum as well. And the Big E, will hear from him later, of course, during his phenomenal tip of the week. Guys, let's start off with the wildcard award. It's my favorite part of the podcast. Chris Waring, you got the first hit up. What do you got for us?
It was funny you reference hit up, because this person barely did any of these on the weekend. Goes to David Nofaluma, who ran for a total of 25 meters in the game last week, and just absolutely astounding effort from, I think, the third or second highest paid winger in the game. And there's been plenty of bad things happen to the Tigers, pretty much something every week, but one of the worst was David Nofaluma returning to the Tigers after his stint at the Storm. So, yeah, David Nofaluma, what a fucking legend. 25 metres. Cheers.
Mate, it's 25 metres and more than you've ever done, hey?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, actually, I retract my wildcard.
Yeah, don't ever speak ill of a player ever again. Speaking of that, I might speak ill of a player. I'm going to speak... Well, I'm not really ill of a player, more just like the Get That Into You award, which goes to Joe Tapanay for absolutely leveling Reece Walsh. Now, I'm a bit conflicted about this one, to be honest, because I'm all for player welfare. And if a player is hurt and appears to be hurt and appears to be giving up and is indeed going to give up, not like Joy Manu last year setting up a try for the Roosters against the Dragons, I think it was, then I think, you know, just wrapping the player up is fair game instead of hitting them like a fucking freight truck. I'm watching the replay on loop right now in slow motion, and you can see the jarring like whiplash that happens in Reece Walsh's body. So, you know, it's kind of dangerous, but it's kind of legal. It's super legal, actually. I'm in favor of it, I think. I'm in favor of the Joe Tapanay hit, mostly because I think Reece Walsh is a bit of a flog, and also because Reece Walsh copped it pretty well, to be fair. He smiled and stuff like that and got up, so I think play on with that one. But the award for just absolutely leveling out a bloke goes to Joe Tapanay. Kieran Gibson, what do you got for us this week?
I've got the ego is the single biggest obstruction to the achievement of anything, which goes to Peter Vlandis. In the wake of Team List being named yesterday, I was pretty disappointed. I'm going to the Broncos Storm game this Thursday at Suncorp, and it was pretty upsetting to see two second string teams named, with both teams resting heavily. And I think the NRL and PBL could take a leaf out of AFL's book, although I think the decision would probably actually be Andrew Abdo's, but over PVL's dead body to follow the AFL and have a week's rest after the regular season before the finals, like the AFL. I think unless PVL could think of a way to make it, I don't know, just spin it off as smarter than the way the AFL do it, I don't think it'll happen.
So the AFL are having that this week, are they? They're having their rest week now?
Yeah, no games. And so Collingwood have two of their best players out, Darcy Moore and Nick Dacos. And basically without them, I wouldn't say they can't win the comp because they still finish top of the ladder, but it'll be very, very difficult, especially with finals intensity. And it's a very, very hot race this year. So it massively helps Collingwood. Darcy Moore will be back for game one and Nick Daicos possibly. They have the double chance. So they, if Nick Daicos isn't back, but yeah, it just helps so much with injuries, with players being able to rest their bodies. And I don't think if you had that week rest, I don't think there's the, not maybe some teams would do it, but I don't think there's a huge risk that many teams would want to rest 2 weeks in a row and go that long without 3 weeks, essentially without footy.
Well, four of the top five teams on the ladder have named almost unrecognizable teams, particularly the Broncos and Storm, like you mentioned. Like those two teams are basically reserve grade-ish, you know, fringe first grade level. Chris, do you have a take on this, you know, following a team that's basically fringe reserve grade at full strength? Sorry, that's a stray bullet. That's a bit fucked. Do you have a take on this about PBL maybe instituting a week before the finals?
Well, firstly, I'll just say that the Cowboys and Tigers will be doing the exact same thing week one. So go fuck yourself. Second to that, I agree. I think Kieran makes a good point. Like, because the AFL have done it, you know, the AFL could find a cure for cancer in the NRL when a PBL specifically would never even give a, you know, credence or congratulations to them because, you know, it's just a fucking poofters game or something else. But, it makes perfect sense. You know, the finals is obviously, final series in any sport, really, you know, to run up to the championship, the championship games. That's what history is about. That's what people remember. People don't remember round competitions unless it was round 21 Cowboys versus Tigers 2022. But I don't think it makes perfect sense. And also, I think having the week off doesn't necessarily lose interest. In fact, I think it builds a bit of hype because the media perspective have a whole week to, build up, you know, the return of this person and this and that. And teams are, you know, it's not like, people are still going to be injured, obviously, but it just gives a little bit of a week and a little bit of a gap between regular season, gap, end season. I think it's a good idea, but to Kieran's point, I don't think it'll ever happen because some other league, Australian league, has done it first.
And it would help promote the NRLW.
Totally. Yeah. Yes, it'd be like a standalone weekend for them. I can't think of a better weekend to do like the Dally M's, you know, throw them on during that time because they only count regular season games anyway. That seems, or if you really wanted like content quote from the men's game, you could have a shit comp, you know, like the bottom nine play off against each other for the best of the rest or some bullshit.
Las Vegas.
Yeah, just move them over to Las Vegas, play like a weekend of shit football and just really advertise the game, you know, have the Tigers versus the Dragons or the Cowboys versus the freaking Titans or whatever. All right, that sounds. I by the way, I do agree with both of you that is probably the way it's going to be. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I have been away for 7 weeks actually. So we did one podcast in that time, but we have been a little bit slack. I had people that are regular listeners sending messages through, just being like, "Hey, welfare check. Like, are you guys coming back?" And yes, we are. We are coming back. But we're going to do a little segment. We're going to call it. What the fuck did Bo miss? What the fuck did he miss? Yes, it seems wasteful to make up a little jingle just for a one-off segment, but here we are. What the fuck did Bo miss? Because I did not see much football while I was way over in Europe. I was watching the highlights, with the five-minute highlight reels, of course, but that's just mostly tries. And I'm a little bit confused about some of the stuff that has happened while I've been away. Maybe you boys can help me out, being students of the game. First of all, guys, Friendy is a big Knights fan. It's a shame that he's not here because earlier this season, Friendy was calling for Adam O'Brien's head and he wanted Jack Hetherington to medically retire Kalen Ponga. So, like, at training. So, it's been a bit of a turnaround for the Knights. They're sitting in fifth and they're guaranteed a home semi-final. Kieran, what the hell happened?
It reminds me of, funnily enough, my Cowboys a little bit. I think I make this comparison just because it's the team I watch the most, but it is an easy one to make. Like last year, I think before the season started, you wouldn't really have said, and Chris is going to laugh because he still wouldn't say this, but you wouldn't have said that we had any superstars, which fair enough, we probably don't, but I wouldn't have said that we had any player that would take us to a level of competing to make the finals or being competitive in the finals if we were to make it. I guess the Knights always had that player in Ponga. He just wasn't playing to that level or staying on the field, really. He's been the main ingredient, but they are playing so, so well as a team. You can see that they're all buying into what they're – I don't know how many points they've conceded over the last, let's say, seven games because that's been their win streak, but they have defended their ass off every single game. Like even when the game's been tied up, they've been stopping tries in the corner. Lockie Fitzgibbon, shout out to him. Did one, I don't know, I think 4 weeks ago in the corner with like, there was like a minute left in the game and they'd won by like 20 points. So I think just everyone buying in defensively, that's what makes me think I don't think they will win the comp, but I don't think that they're easy beats either just because their defense is so good.
I heard someone make the comparison, Chris, that they reminded them of the West Tigers in 2005, which I'm sure you remember well. I remember it well, being a Cowboys fan. They absolutely rattled the Cowboys in the first week of the finals, 50-6, and then they managed to meet them again in the final and rocked them again to a lesser extent, but a more deeply hurtful way, even for any, you know, teenagers that might have been in the crowd. But do you see that comparison there, Chris, that there's, you know, this team, they're a bit unfancied, they're playing a different style of footy, and they've got one marquee superstar that is just untouchable?
Yeah, look, I'm going to be thinking about how I feel about it. I think I'm a natural cynic, which doesn't necessarily help with these, I guess, you know, believing it can be a thing. But, there's no denying. It's so odd, you know. It's just like, it's just really out of nowhere. They've just kind of picked it up and it's clicked. And, you know, that's what momentum is in sport. You know, they just hold on to it. But it's also a thing where it's like, well, how long can this specifically last for? And I do think they've had some advantageous matchups in that specific time. So, I mean, look, I don't think they're a premiership contender. You know, I'll probably say maybe round two, even round one. But there's no denying how impressive the turnaround has been. And, you know, I'll give Adam O'Brien credit for that, and specifically Caelan Ponga, where he has copped a lot of specific criticism and definitely had a difficult start to the season with the head knocks and whatnot. But he's also, to the other point, I think he's playing to what the price tag is expected of him. You know, he earns, I believe he's the highest paid player in literally the competition. So for him to finally be clicking like this, well, this is what Newcastle have paid him for. And, you know, and he has been playing unreal and outstanding. So, it's been a real funny one, but it's been like a real late switch in them. But, you know, just to make a comparison, something I'm sure we'll touch on with something you've missed, it's kind of, you know, these bursts of you know, energy and form can end rather quickly, like the Cowboys. So we'll see how long it'll go for.
Well, let's get into that. Kieran, I'll let you have first run at your Cowboys and my Cowboys. When I left for Europe, they were on the up. They were premiership contenders, TM, according to Gus Gould. And then they lost to the Titans. That was fairly uninspiring. And they've just continued being a bit shit ever since, except for maybe the first half against the Dolphins just gone. So, Kieran, what happened to our Cowboys?
Well, I'd just like to speak to the point that Chris raised just before, which I think is a very strong point. And I've been kind of, I guess, awoken to it a bit more this season. But just the fact that a burst in form or, let's say, a 6-7 week pocket of form is not something to read into too heavily, no matter how impressive it is, but rather the consistency of the teams like the Broncos and Penrith this year. And I definitely bought into the Cowboys' burst of form. I honestly thought that we were at worst going to finish top six and get a home final. And it has, yeah, really not panned out that way. I thought that the Titans game that we lost, that was just a small blip on the radar, and that also turned out not to be that way. But, yeah, I don't know if it's a I wouldn't say it's a culture thing. I've heard a lot of talk about, like, yeah, just, I don't know. I can't really give you a proper answer, to be honest, but I've heard a lot of talk about our preseason being unsettled because of so many World Cup players and then other players coming back hurt. And I don't know. I find that a bit of a soft excuse. Not really sure. Maybe just the high of last season doing so much better than we thought we would, and sort of coming down from that, or trying to maintain that. And maybe, yeah, we're not really as good a side as what we showed last year. Like, I'm not calling it a fluke because I don't really believe in flukes. I think we earned what we got last season, but it does bring us back to reality a bit this season.
Chris, best case scenario, the Cowboys can come 7th or 8th. That's if they beat the Panthers, who are near full strength, which is obviously fairly unlikely. And there is a situation where even if they beat a full strength Panthers, they may still end up 9th. You sort of touched on it before, and Kieran spoke to it there. You've always kind of been a little bit lower on the Cowboys, even in the preseason when I remember Friendly tipped them to be the premiers. You were like, nah, I feel like the Cowboys are a bit of fool's gold. Are you feeling a little bit high and mighty right now?
Not as high as mighty as my Josh Schuster take, but slightly. I just think, yeah, look, the Cowboys, I mean, there's no denying that, you know, they played incredible during that specific period. But I just think that, for example, I think one of the differences between, say, Cowboys and Newcastle, for example, and this is touching Kieran's point, there's, like, Kalen Ponga is just more star power, more, you know, at the Cowboys at their very peak, they don't have anyone like that, in my opinion. What Kalen Ponga could specifically do in those key spine positions. So I just think the Cowboys have a specific cap, which I think they have fallen short of. I thought the Cowboys would still make the 8 this year, but I think I've even said like a 7th or 6th. That's where I kind of had them. So they have been a little bit more disappointing. But the Cowboys' spine, I think, is a bit of an issue. Drinkwater is largely inconsistent. On his day, he is excellent, but that's the thing. He's a very on-the-day player, where Ponga really, for the first time in a bit, has shown the week in, week out, you know, potential that everyone knows he has and what his price tag brings with it. So yeah, the Cowboys, it's a very strange season, but yeah, it's just, I'm not surprised by it. I kind of had them as this, and I think last year still was, you know, a bit of a flash in the pan. I think their team needs some restructuring around the edges to be, you know, that real top four contending team.
Speaking of top four teams, the Warriors, I think 6 weeks ago, we were all kind of waiting for their wheels to fall off the wagon, and they just haven't. And they have secured a top four finish. The Storm are resting a whole bunch of players against the Broncos, so they might not win, and the Warriors may well secure third. And that's fairly incredible, considering where they came from. Chris, do you see them being a potential threat? Could they get to a prelim and maybe give it a shake?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I've come around to the Warriors eventually, but I think Tohu Harris is it's kind of contingent. These things are really hard to assess in light of you know, potentially some injuries coming about. But I just don't. It's not so much a comment about the Warriors per se. It's more about a comment of, like, Kieran touched on it earlier, about like the consistent domination by Penrith, obviously, over years, and then Brisbane specifically this year, if at full strength. So I think they could potentially beat the Broncos in a semi if it got to that, but I just don't trust the team enough, and I think they're very high, fast rising team, but that specific elevation might come with a bit of panic in semifinals, and maybe there might be a year off, you know, with the addition of someone like Tuivasa-Sheck, and, you know, just a bit of more consolidation of being in that top end of the table. So I reckon they're about a year off. So I don't think they'll do much in the postseason this year.
Same question to you, Kieran. And if they don't manage to, you know, make a grand final, make a run for it, can you see them being next year's Cowboys?
I can definitely see them being next year's Cowboys. I think that point has been proven to me through Chris and his analysis of the Cowboys from last season, which he, yeah, as we said, made in the preseason. That was a very good call. I look at the Warriors and I actually thought that their first half of the season has been maybe not way better, but there's a noticeable difference to their first half of the season to the second half. I don't think the second half has been as good. They have scraped through some games, which I guess you always say you have to do that as a team, but for me it's probably been a bit too often and a little bit worrying, and maybe it's nothing to read into, but I just think when you've got teams like Penrith and the Broncos that we've mentioned playing as well as they have, they're insane. Like, they're like Storm Panthers of 2020 good, or 2020-2021, which is, yeah, another point, just insane that Penrith are still at the top like that. Although we have seen that in the NRL with the Storm before. I think they can go to a prelim. I actually think, as a point to make, I think that they've relied a bit too heavily, as I said, in the second half of the season, I don't think they've been as good. I think they've relied a bit too heavily on Sean Johnson to provide all the magic. And I think in the first half of the season, it was like a more team balance, especially Wade Egan. He stood out to me a lot more up until around, I don't know, just after Origin. And I feel like he's been a bit more quiet. And I don't actually think that's his fault. It seems like the game plan has been tweaked to be centered around Sean Johnson a bit more, which he's playing amazing this season, arguably the best season of his career. But I think that's something I would tweak and go back to being more of a team effort, or just in attack on those plays where you want someone to do something. Don't just say, oh, Johnson is the go-to man, because Wade Egan is very, very dangerous. I think that they can make a prelim, probably week two exit for me.
Luke Metcalf's injury is unfortunate. He's played some good footy, but I think it's actually maybe a win for the Warriors, because it forces their hand to put Tamari Martin back in there. He's going to play this weekend, get some footy under his belt, hopefully gets through it unscathed, because he does have that creativity. People forget that the last time the Cowboys made a grand final, he was the 5'8". He was a big part of the reason that Michael Morgan could play the way that he did in that final series. I think, like Chris touched on, Tohu Harris is a very key person. If he can't be there for week one of the finals, I'm worried. And Sean Johnson is the hot hand, of course. He's playing amazing, but he can't play that amazing if he doesn't have Egan, Harris, Martin delivering the goods as well. So I'm a little bit worried too. Let me finish this little segment off by saying, and like, you know, we can talk about the Rabbitohs, we talk about the Roosters. I reckon we'll get to those during the matchups, and the Raiders as well, by the way. But let's do the maths on this. The Broncos and the Panthers, in all likelihood, unless their wheels really fall off the wagon, are at least playing in a prelim, right? So you got the Broncos and Panthers in the prelim. Probably the Storm as well would be the third team. So let me put this to you. There will be a fourth team in the prelims, obviously. It's going to come from the Warriors, the Knights, the Sharks, the Raiders, the Rabbitohs, the Cowboys, or the Roosters. It's really opened up for a team like the Rabbitohs or Roosters that have that class to really catch fire in the final series and push their way into a prelim or maybe even a grand final. Chris, could you see something like that happening?
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I trust, like, I don't trust the Raiders at all. They're complete frauds.
Mm-hmm.
If the Roosters come against, or the Rabbitohs come against the, the Warriors, I would hedge my bets a certain way. I could easily see, I think, more the Rabbitohs in that semi-final context. I ultimately don't think they'd win. I think either those three teams would beat them. But, yeah, I could easily say one of those, whoever sneaks in at the end there, even the Cowboys, if they kind of re-click just based on last year's final experience. But, yeah, for my fourth spot, I think the Rabbitohs will probably get there.
They did last year. I think they came seventh in the regular season and then pushed their way into a prelim to lose to the Panthers. Kieran, same question to you. who do you see sort of pushing for that fourth prelim spot if it's not going to be the Warriors?
If you asked me this before the weekend, I would have said the Sharks just because of the adversity they've overcome, not only this year, but bouncing out in straight sets last season would hurt. And I know that they'd want to atone for that. Usually that's something I don't like to read into too much because I don't think it really factors at all. But I am reading into it this time. I do think that the Sharks come across to me as a team where that would really motivate them, that the way that they fell out last year and then the way that they were discounted this season when they went on that barren run. So I probably, with Nico Hines back this weekend, I'll see how the Sharks go. But, yeah, I'll say the Sharks for now could make a prelim, but then they would, yeah, I'm going to say 100% bounce out.
I'm keeping an eye on the Roosters. I think the Roosters are in better form than the Rabbitohs. If the Roosters beat the Rabbitohs, it knocks the Rabbitohs out of contention. And the Roosters have, you know, so much class. Obviously, no Jared Warrior Hargreaves at the moment. And Joey Manu is a week-by-week proposition at the moment with his injury. But, you know, Tedesco and Keary and, you know, big Stiffy Smithy at hooker there. They might give it a run, but we'll see. Boys, let's have a small little break. We're going to hear from our other panelists, the Big E, Owen Gibson, a disability advocate for Down Syndrome Queensland. As we speak, he'll be hanging out with the Sunshine Coast Scorchers at the KFC 2020 Max here in Brisbane. But earlier today, he recorded his phenomenal tip of the week. Back soon.
Hey boys, this is Owen Gibson. I'm doing a big phenomenal tip of the week. Yeah, that week I got a 6 out of 8, so that's good. This week, shout out to my brother, of course, me and my brother Ken. We are going to be there. That is the first match. We are going to be there at Soccer Stadium. Broncos against Melbourne Storms. That is my last day. No, that is my last match. Before I go on holidays, yes, I am going to miss you boys so much. for my big phenomenal tip of the week, I am going to tip the Broncos against the Storms. Good luck, it's going to be tough. And I'm also going to tip my Cowboys against the Pyramid Panthers. Sorry, Dan. I also tip Newcastle Knights for a friendly. What's up, big boy? What's up? Cheers, boys. Cheers, cheers, cheers. Manly. Oh, yeah, and I'm also going to tip Manly Seagulls against Swiss Tigers. That's my big phenomenal tip of the week. And I'm also going to do my wild card and my bold prediction. First, the bold prediction. For the Cowboys, I'll say Scott Drinkwater will get a winning goal. And for my wild card, I'll say congratulations to Marco Cifo. Incredible player. But, yeah, he's really good, so that's my wild card. Congratulations to him. And shout out to my boy, by the way. I'm going to see him tonight. You know him too, Wendy. And, yeah, I'm going to shout out Jay Linton. I'm going to shout out his name. Yeah, the Biggie, baby. Woodward, Biggie out.
Welcome back to Above the Horizontal. Big thank you to the Big E, who is shouting out people and making bold predictions that the Cowboys are going to somehow beat the Panthers. Good luck, Big E. I love your optimism. I'm not sure I think it's going to happen, but we kind of need it to happen, my friend. Speaking of the Big E, he's also very excited to go to the football on Thursday night with his brother, Kieran, who I'm talking to here with Chris Waring. And that first game is the Broncos versus the Storm at Suncorp Stadium. I'm not going to go through the team list changes because they both have rested 1,000 players each. So, you know, whatever. It's going to be a very interesting game. Kieran, you mentioned you're a bit disappointed by it. Who do you think is going to win and why?
To be honest, I've not actually really thought about this just because I was so annoyed. I'm happy to see Pappenhausen back at fullback. That'll be cool to watch. I'm curious to see what the Storm do if he plays well, albeit against a second-string Broncos side, what they do with Nick Meaney and Pappenhausen the next week. I'm going to go the Storm. I think looking at that side... Yeah, I'm just going to say the Storm. I don't know. I really don't know what will happen with this game. So many players. I've never really seen play too much, but I'll go the Storm.
Yeah, me too. Chris, what do you think?
I think the same to Kieran. I think interesting to see if Pappenhausen back, how he'll go, and if he plays the full 80. But I think they have all fours on the bench. So it's like Kieran said, it's hard to tip, just so many different people in different positions. I'm going to go the Broncos.
The next game is the Seagulls versus the Tigers at Four Pines Park on Friday evening. Not many restings required for this one. No Bateman and no Uto Ikemanu for the Tigers, which obviously hurts them. They do welcome back Alex Twol, and I saw that there was Kit Laulili is making his debut. Good luck to him. Chris, who do you like in this one?
Manly. Although Will Smith lasted all but 1 week at halfback, and I think that's a good choice. Just for real Tigers heads, Justin Matamua is apparently a ball-playing lock, but we haven't seen it so far. And also Josh Felady is on debut. I think he's 18 years old. So interesting saying that. I think DC will probably put the edge defense in a torture chamber. So I reckon Manly by a bit.
I was going to say, it's interesting that they've waited this long to play Matamoa. Like, what's the point of playing him in the last game? But it's worth remembering that Benji Marshall literally only just took over last week. So he may have wanted that for a fair while and is finally getting his way, because I know Tigers fans have been very keen for it on the claw. And Chris, you're right. He has a reputation for being a ball player. Kieran, who do you like in this one?
I think any team led by DCE is at least going to be yelled at to lift the standard, and they normally do play to the standard that I guess a sort of player like DC would sort of expect, like a bare minimum standard at least. He really rallies the troops, and I think he is very good at setting those standards. But I like the addition of Kola at the back, at fullback. Garrick out for me is, well, I don't mind Garrick, but I think Kola with his speed, I'm keen to watch that. I think this is a fairly even matchup for me, but I do think that Manly have shown a bit of motivation and desire the last few weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks, but just going off that, I'm going to tip Manly.
The matchup of David Nofaluma and Raymond Vanga is very tantalizing. I'm going to go for the Seagulls as well. The next game on Friday night is the big one. It's the Rabbitohs versus Roosters. Basically, if the Rabbitohs win, it knocks the Roosters out. If the Roosters win, it knocks the Rabbitohs out, and the Roosters might still not make it, even if they do win. So it's very interesting how this will all go. No Latrell Mitchell for the Rabbitohs, no Wairia Hargreaves for the Roosters. Kieran, who do you like in this one?
If you look at the split on NRL tipping, it's 50-50. I've thought the Roosters all week, and I'm definitely going to stick that way. The Rabbitohs have won 2 of their last 5. I'm not sure if you went back another 5 games how many they would have won out of that, but I don't think it would be too many. I can't trust the Rabbitohs. I'm going the Roosters.
Chris, you said that the Rabbitohs might be semi-finalists potentially, so I'm guessing you're going for them?
Yeah, but with no real specific faith at all. I'm just adding a little bit of media pressure, and I think that both these teams have a lot to lose when they lose. It's going to be bad for whichever club here spirals out. This was literally my grand final pick. Now it's they're fighting.
It's impossible.
Corey Allen, Queensland legend, 18th man. It's tough. I think South just, I just think they have a little bit more motivation. I think the Rory Hargreaves absolute fucking
brain snap
last week. They play worse when he's out of the team, despite him making idiotic decisions when he's there anyway. So I'm going to go South by like 2 points.
I'm going to go with Roosters with likewise no confidence at all. But someone's got to win. And whoever does is probably going to make the finals. So a lot on the line for both teams. The next game is the Dolphins versus the Warriors. Not a lot on the line for these teams. This is from Suncorp Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Dolphins naming an almost full strength team. They welcome back Jesse Bromwich. The Warriors have got mass restings, and they've got Dylan Walker starting at lock and captain. That's an interesting choice of captain, if you ask me. Chris, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I think the Dolphins are going to finish on a win. Just a lot of people out for the Warriors. Might have a bit of an odd bench rotation in and out, I think, to just kind of spare the minutes around a bit. I don't know. Dolphins just seem like a team that'll win the last game of the year with a bit of a positive outlook, unlike the Tigers who go into it. There's no hope there. So, yeah, I think the Dolphins will win.
I think the Dolphins as well, for the same reasons that Chris said. I think they'll be with the Warriors outs, and then even if the Warriors didn't have outs, I would be tempted to tip the Dolphins. I think Wayne Bennett will have them right up for it in their last game of the season to give a bit of a strong performance for the fans. But the Dolphins are also a team for me. Other than that, in that first half against the Eels, I can't really recall a game where they were just absolutely bent over. Yeah, so I'm going to go the Dolphins.
They were bent over by the Titans at one point, only to eventually win that game as well. But I see what you guys are saying. I agree mostly, but I'm going to go for the Warriors on the grounds that the forward pack looks really quite good, for one. And secondly, I think there's a lot to be said for having really good habits at this time of the year in your football and in your organization. And I just think the Warriors are playing, you know, they're not playing amazing at the moment, but they're on a bit of a winning streak. They're coming third for a reason. And that confidence would be filtering throughout the squad. And I just got a feeling they'll beat the Dolphins, and it'll really buoy them for next week, starting into the finals. The next game is the Panthers and Cowboys. It's from BlueBet Stadium. This is about as impossible a task as the Cowboys could possibly have asked for. They are blessed by the fact that Jerome Luai is not there. They'll have Jack Cogger replacing him. He's a fine replacement. And they welcome back Dylan Edwards. Isaac Tungo is on the reserves. Scott Sorensen, Sunya Taruva, they're all coming back for the Panthers. So tough going for our Cowboys, Kieran. Do you think that our Cowboys men will have a chance?
I was very excited to see the team list on Tuesday at 4 p.m. I was like, I guess I was, even though I said I was excited, I was sort of tentatively waiting around to see what sort of team Ivan would name. I did not think it would be as strong as the one he did, but it pretty much expelled any hope that I had that the Cowboys season would live on after this. And yeah, I give us as much chance of winning this game as the Knights do of winning another game this season.
No chance, according to our friend Friendy. Chris, I imagine you're in a similar boat.
Yeah. I mean, the Cowboys have a decent team. It's, I would say, close to full strength outside of the missing Val Holmes, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Retired legend James Talmer in the reserves. It's always an interesting sight. Look, I can't tip the Cowboys. I think they're done and dusted. I don't think they'll get smashed, but I'm fairly confident they'll lose. So it's also borderline impossible unless you're Parramatta to beat Penrith at home. I mean, plus Penrith also lost last week, so that's also very seldom will they ever lose two in a row. So yeah, Penrith.
We said that, and then they lost the World Club Challenge and then to the Broncos in round one. So fingers crossed, we could have a 14-point victory for the Cowboys, and that's the hope that I'm going to rest on. This is an absolute heart tip, no head required. I am going for the Cowboys, but it's bleak. I don't think it's going to happen, but I've got to believe. The next game is the Dragons and Knights from Netstrata Jubilee Stadium. We know that Friendy will say the Knights have no chance, but they are resting a number of players. Kalen Ponga, obviously, Tyson Frizzell, Dane Gagai. Phoenix Crossland's been really quite impressive, or so I've heard. Of course, they are potentially welcoming back Jackson Hastings, who's had a couple of weeks out. The Dragons haven't got a lot to play for, Chris, but how do you see this one going?
Yeah. When the hell did Farmani Brown get to Newcastle?
I don't know. I was wondering that. He was at the Tigers, wasn't he, this year?
No, last year. He was at the Bulldogs this year. You know,
I can't keep up.
Yeah, he didn't want to stick with such a successful rebuilding team. I got a bone to pick. Can the Dragons give up on Tyrell Sloan? He sucks.
look, I don't think he sucks though. I think he's like amazingly talented, but just not switched on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's kind of interesting team from the Dragons. I thought like the Tigers have picked a bunch of young blokes. This just looks like the same Dragons team that gets belted every other week. So, I it's kind of hard. It's kind of interesting because I feel like the Newcastle team isn't that even that good on paper. Obviously, there's a bunch of restings, but just form. I'm just going on form. So I'll go to Knights.
That sounds pretty much like my Warriors tip earlier, is that the Knights are just in much better form with much better systems and much better habits. So I'm going to go for the Knights as well. What do you think, Kieran?
Yeah, I'm going to be unoriginal and say that for the exact same reason that you just said, I'm going to go the Knights.
It's a very mild step and move of you. The next game is on Sunday afternoon from Cbus Super Stadium. Shout out to our former colleague, Jack McDonald, Titans legend. It's Titans versus Bulldogs. Now, the Titans will be without Isaac Liu. They are welcoming back Mo Fodawaker, though, which is obviously a big boost. And Tino moves into the lock forward position. The Bulldogs will be without boxing legend Tevita Pangai Jr. They welcome back Raymond Faitala Mariner into the reserves, though. Max King at starting at lock is an interesting thing. And, of course, transformational legend Reid Marnie at hooker. Kieran, who do you like out of the Titans and Bulldogs? Now, if you guys are falling asleep on the Titans this week, I'm going to be quite cross, frankly.
No, I think this is sort of a game where I think the Bulldogs will be happy to see the light at the end of the tunnel of this season. But it's probably just going to be a small blip on the radar of their transformation that will no doubt reap rewards in years to come. I have admittedly slept less on the Titans lately. I like that Tom Weaver at halfback. He's quite good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tip the Titans. I think that they're the better team. I'm trying to give some sort of analysis. I can't really think of anything. But it's the margin game in NRL tipping, and I've got the Titans by 10. I think that they could, even though the Bulldogs will probably want to do something as the last game of the season, I think the Titans could rack up a score.
Well, I want to say the Titans, but the fix is fucking in already. The Titans are going to get really fucked here like every other week. Peter Villandis and some other fucking shit. I don't know. Casey Badge is on refereeing. Jack's about to have an aneurysm.
That's worth mentioning, by the way, because that's like it's the second time, because it's going to happen this weekend earlier with Belinda Sharp against with the Seagulls and Tigers. But first time that a female ref will be the solo ref in a men's game. So Belinda Sharp gets that record on Friday evening, and then Casey Badger, Jack McDonald legend, get to go this game.
Yeah. I think the Titans should win, but it would not fucking surprise me at all if they lost. Just based on some of the Bulldogs are finally getting some specific scrutiny. It's only taken fucking 3 years to realize, hey, this club actually fucking sucks and, is arguably doing a bad job, Phil Gould and Cameron Serraldo. I'm going to go the Titans, but I have absolutely no confidence at all.
Wouldn't it be the most Titans thing ever if they lead like 20-0 or something like that, and you're sitting there watching it going, yeah, shit, like AJ Brimson, what a player. Look at the pace of Khan Pereira and Jojo Fifita. Look at the edges of David Fifita and Cleese Hart. Look at the middles of Mo Fodawaker and Tina Fasua Malaoi, and they get run down 40-28 or something stupid like that by Bulldogs legend Paul Alamotti with 5 tries. I could just see that happening. I am going to tip the Titans, but in case you can't tell, I am hurt. I'm hurt by the Titans because they were making me look half smart when they were in that top 11 or so, because I was like, yeah, that's where I had them this year, and all you guys were like, nah, bottom 4, bottom 5, and then sure enough, they're fucking bottom 5. Fucking pricks. I'm very cross at them. I'm very cross at all of them. I'm cross at Justin Holbrook. I'm cross at Kieran Foran even. I've never thought I'd say that. Yeah, so anyway, Titans with me, boys. Cheers. the next and last game of the regular season, because the Eels have a bye, of course, is the Sharks and Raiders from PointsBet Stadium, the perennially under development points bet stadium. Connor Tracy, Kieran Gibson, legend at fullback still. Josh Papali'i is out for the season with injury. And Corey Horsburgh was named at lock, but he has been suspended for 4 matches for a bizarre shoulder charge in, like, what, the last minute of the game against the Broncos. Almost it's basically as bad as Warrior Hargreaves, except at least Warrior Hargreaves was, like, 28 points in front. What the fuck was he doing? Horsburgh at least was, you know, frustrated. I get that. But he'll be out for the rest of the season too, essentially, because the Raiders will not be playing another 4 weeks this year. Chris, that's a lot of words for saying this game is consequential. For the Sharks, it is the difference between a home semi and a not home semi. For the Raiders, it's potentially that also. But if the Raiders lose, they could very well miss the top eight, depending on results, because of their for and against. So how do you see this one going?
Yeah, this is a hard game to tip because they're both teams that are just like dog shit against literally anyone above them and like decent against people below them. And then the Raiders, they're just like crap all year, but they've found a way to win. So credit to them there. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the ironic part. Like, it's actually quite a consequential game for finishing where teams will finish, but I actually think none of these teams will do fucking anything in the finals. So I think Sharks, just because I think they're playing better as of late, I have a bit more hope in them in actually doing something in the finals. I think the Raiders are just very slowly crashing and burning with Queensland legend Corey Horsburgh's display showed last week, but that's when you get when you're an enforcer. Jared Croke on the benches and Tom Starling is interesting as well. By the way, absolute piss take of the week was Fox Sports apologized to Ricky Stewart when they filmed him and he told the camera to fuck off.
Well, that's such a Steve Crawley move, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just like, look after our mate. That was fucked.
Yeah. I think Sharks.
Yeah, with Papali'i and Horsburgh out, and then you look at that Raiders bench. That looks kind of insane. I can only put that down to being
it's cancerous. Really, it's cancerous. Frankly,
yeah,
Titans.
I blame Xavier Savage for not being fit, and Ricky not being able to pick him for having to pick that bench. Ricky probably feels the same way. Shout out to Tom Hazelton. He's been awesome the last few weeks, especially against the Cowboys. Like, I thought he like kind of wrestled back the momentum in their favor, and I think he scored 2 tries, had a strip ball, which also was at a crucial time. Couldn't be any balder than he currently is. But yeah, shout out to him. He's been awesome. And Nico Hines comes back in, and yeah, the Raiders, just for me, they come across as like trying to replicate their 2019 kind of form, or 2016 as well, where they're just trying to throw the ball. Further to that point, I do actually like Jack White and going to center, where they're just kind of playing this Harlem Globetrotter football, or trying to. But I don't think it's quite working for them, and then they don't really have a plan B, so I'm going to go the Sharks.
Sorry, but I've got a comparison for you that about 3 people on earth will appreciate. Hazelton looks like Victorian Bushrangers legend Jade Herrick.
Oh, I can see that with the headband.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, me and Friendy will be the only ones. Benny Carlton might know. He's one of our loyal listeners, Benny Carlton. He might know who Jade Herrick is, and that's probably about it. Yeah. That's 4 of us. Well done.
Just Googled him. Oh, yeah. I can see it.
I'm going to go to the Sharks as well, and the main reason for me is while I like Whiten as a center, generally speaking, that back line looks fine. I don't understand why they were coming 6th with the back line a certain way, and through no injury concerns whatsoever, decided to change it like 2 weeks before the finals. It's baffling. Absolutely fucking stupid. And Fox Sports, I'm sure, will apologize. So anyway, Sharks will win that one. I'm very wary of time constraints, so let's quickly get some NRL.
So I actually don't have a tennis got canceled, so I don't have a heart out.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Well, that's fine. Anyway, we should wrap it up anyway. Cheers, boys. Cheers. Let's go into the NRLW round 7, getting towards the finals. Of course, the Roosters and the Knights, as predicted, are on top of the ladder. The Titans and Raiders round out the top 4, and it is a top 4 to progress to finals for the NRLW. The first game is on Saturday morning from GIO Stadium. It's the Raiders and the Knights. So it's the fourth place Raiders against the second place Knights. Kieran, who do you like in this one?
It seems like a bit of a merry-go-round season. Like the Knights and the Roosters have stood out, but apart from that, sort of seems like results have been fairly close, like 2 to 4 points difference in most games, where I thought that there was a fairly clear favourite. It's in Canberra, but I'm going to go the Raiders. I'm going to go the Raiders. Even though the Knights are sitting equal top of the table, I think the Raiders have probably been a little bit more impressive. I think Knights have kind of pulled a few out of their ass, which, isn't as convincing for me as what I think the Raiders have been. So,
Caitlin Johnson's absolute machine. Jesse Southwell, great halfback as well. I'm a bit wary to Kieran. I think what Kieran was alluding to about the undefeated team, I'm always a bit wary about that, but I am going to go to the Knights. I just think the spine is a bit better. I get Kieran's point about the Raiders being, I guess, a little bit more impressive, but I just trust that spine of Newcastle more in NRLW. I think that's one of the better ones in the competition, I think the Knights will stay undefeated.
They have lost a game. I agree with you, though, that the Knights do have one of the better... I think the Roosters is probably like the standout team, but any spine that has Tamika Upson with Jesse Southwell has a lot of strike in it. I, too, am going to go for the Knights. The next game is the Broncos and Sharks. They're playing, strangely enough, Saturday lunchtime in Townsville from Queensland Country Bank Stadium. That's just a strange one. You would have thought they'd just find a ground somewhere in Brisbane. But anyway, the Broncos are coming fifth. The Sharks are coming sixth. The Emma Tonegado experiment at 5'8 for the Sharks seems to have been hot one week and not so hot the next. Jada Taylor is probably a fullback worth persisting with. Who do you like in this one, Chris?
Yeah, I'd say a little bit, I guess, disappointing-ish seasons, just, I guess, based on specific expectations. They're still finals chances, but I think I'm going to go Brisbane. I just think there's similar kind of justification for the last game. I just trust players more in key positions, generally overall, Brigginshaw and co. So I'm going to go Brisbane's just...
Me too, especially at their home ground in Checks Notes, 1,400 kilometres away. Kieran, right in our backyard in Townsville, who do you like out of the Broncos and Sharks?
I have to echo a lot of what Chris said. I think in key positions, the Broncos have the stronger team. I'm pretty certain in like round two or three, Emma Tonegado went back to fullback. Maybe that was just to cover an injury, but her main strength is her running game, and she hasn't been that good at 5'8". I'm pretty reticent to put fullbacks to 5'8". I'm not a fan of it. Other than Lockyer, I think you have to be pretty much elite to do it, to really make a good fist of it. I think she should go back to fullback. I'll be tipping the Broncos.
That is Josh Hoffman erasure, and I'm not going to stand for it. Do you remember when he was 5'8" for like a season? Josh Hoffman? Yeah. New Zealand legend.
He was all right, fullback.
Yeah, he was fine at fullback or like on the wing, but like fucking 5'8", whatever. Dark days for the Broncos, those. The reason that game is at Queensland Country Bank Stadium, it's actually a double header with the next game, the Cowboys and the Dragons. The Cowboys in their debut season have been underwhelming. They're coming ninth out of the 10 teams. The Dragons, who were, a very good team for the first few seasons of the NRLW, are coming eighth, not their best season at present. Kieran? Should we give our love to some cowboy girls? Cowgirls? Is that the thing that we say?
I guess it is. I went to a cowgirls game a few weeks ago in Brisbane at Langlands Park, and there was a lot of people in the crowd talking about that, saying that they should be called cowgirls. I was fairly impressed with the cowgirls, as we'll call them. I guess they have some fairly key players, Talisha Harden, Kira Dipp, who is good, but I'm speaking on her as if I think she's really good. I thought she was a little underwhelming that in that game and this season, but I do think she has a lot of good qualities. Jasmine Peters in the centres was quite good. I'm leaning towards the Cowgirls, but I think it will be very close.
I'm going to go for the Cowgirls. I love Emma Munzelmann at dummy half. And there's two reasons for that. One, she's a very good football player. And two, it might be the best last name in rugby league. Manzelmann. Love it. Any chance I get to throw some German pronunciation at you, I'll take. So, Cowboys for me. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, I'm not going with that woke bullshit. It's fucking Cowboys, all right? And looking at the team list, you may actually confuse the Dragons NRLW team for the fucking Randwick shoot field in the weekend. There's that many fucking hyphenated names on here, but... and also, I would challenge your point. I think Tyler Nathan Wong is the best name in the NRLW, but I'm going to go to Dragons. I just think from the games I haven't watched every game they've played this year, but from the games I've seen, I feel like they're playing a bit better than the results specifically say. And I think the Cowboys are having a bit of a learning curve season, but I think they'll be better for it in the future. But yeah, I'm going to go to the Dragons.
You're right, though. Tara McGrath-West, that sounds very shoot shield. Although I will raise that, there's a Cowboys player, Tiana Rafstrand-Smith. That's quite shoot shield, frankly.
Yeah, Miles probably tuning into this one.
in a niche starting time, I'm assuming it's a typo, although it's been typed here twice. It's the Titans versus the Tigers from Cbus Stadium at 12:03 p.m. I assume it's meant to be 12:30, but it says 12:03 twice. So let's go with that. The Titans have been, I think, pretty impressive to come in at third. And honestly, the Tigers have been up and down. They started really well, but they've crashed down to seventh in recent times. I think they were basically maybe fifth last week. So they're slowly getting down there. And no Tokatuki for the Tigers is a big loss. Chris, you must be excited having a team that's playing decent footy. Are you going to go for them or going to sleep on the Titans?
Well, I specifically remember you mentioning that I should be excited about the West Tigers and RW's team because they started 2-0 with mastermind coach Brett Camorley. But as usual, the West Tigers DNA had seeped even into the women's team and they turned to absolute shit and literally have been destroyed in every second half of every NRLW game since that moment. Literally, they've been run down like in two games. They've been run down like the last minute. It's been incredible. It reminded me of literally like the West Tigers 9th to 11th teams where they were seemingly capable but just absolutely lost their fucking minds in the last 15. So it's nice to know that's a West Tigers legacy. Anyway, with that, I'm gonna back the Tigers. Gonna absolutely mastermind coach Brett Camorley. A bit of a heart pick. I'm gonna stick with the Tigers.
Good on you. I'm gonna go for the Titans. A bit of a heart pick as well. I like the Titans. What about you, Kieran?
Yeah, you know me. I don't sleep on the Titans. So I'll be tipping them.
You're a good man. You're a good man. How about this for a name in the reserves? Haley J. Ormond Mounsell. That's hyphenated in first name and second name for the Titans. That's impressive. The shoot shield couldn't even contain that. The last game is the Roosters and Eels. It's from 1:50, a much more regular starting time, from Industry Group Stadium on the Central Coast. That's Daniel Friend's part of the world. He's still celebrating the Mariners win, of course. Kieran, who do you like out of the high-flying equal first Roosters and the last-place Eels?
Yeah, I don't think you need to overthink about this one. I'll be tipping the Roosters and, yeah, just class all through this side.
Yeah, this game's have a real Marsh Cup vibe from it, just completely fucking random locations for some reason. Say the man himself become cunted Mariner of the Coast won't be at this game as he'll be wed with his lovely fiance by then. And yeah, to Kieran's point, I think Roosters has been a step above this year. Very impressive team. Just skill, you know. A lot of the NRLW teams, I think, struggle with depth of skill. Roosters don't have that. They're just skillful literally all over the park. So yeah, I think the Roosters will win.
Yeah, me too. All right, boys, time for some bold predictions. It can be the NRL or NRLW, whatever you choose. And starting with you, Kieran, what's your bold prediction this week?
So I think there will be at least 240 points scored this weekend. So that's an average of 30 per game. And I think the Broncos Storm game will be the highest scoring of them all.
All right. Sounds good. What about you, Chris? What's your bold prediction?
I'm going to go Dave Nofaluma to surpass 30 metres this week. no, just kidding. I'm going to go, I think the Dolphins, I'm going to go Dolphins 15 plus, and actually, I think that's bold enough. I reckon Dolphins will put not a massive score, but, you know, win comfortably against the Warriors. So I'll go Dolphins by 15 or more.
Yeah, I think that's bold enough. Mine, I think, is bold enough. I think the Raiders miss the finals. So for that to happen, they need to lose to the Sharks. And then so obviously the Rabbitohs or the Roosters, one of those teams is going to win unless they draw. So one of those teams has to win. They will move past the Raiders if the Raiders lose. And it means that the Cowboys need to beat the Panthers. I know that's what makes it bold, I think, is I'm going for the Cowboys to beat the Panthers because why the hell not? I'm going to back me and my mate, the BE, go to the Cowboys, that will mean the Raiders will miss out.
I would say that would be the funniest possible thing to happen this year. It would be absolutely incredible. So I do hope the Raiders, that would be awesome. I hope that happens.
Oh, how much, like, you know, because that will be the last game of the round. So by then, he will know that they have to win or at least draw to stay in the finals. And, you know, the cameras will be on Ricky Stewart because it's a Channel 9 game. They won't care about Fox Sports apologizing. It'll be a Channel 9 game. They'll have the cameras on him. It'll be interesting to see what happens, I think. So hopefully that happens. Boys, thank you very much for your time this evening on a Wednesday evening, 30th of August. Thank you to the listeners for being patient and sticking around while I was gallivanting across Europe. It was very, 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 very good. I strongly recommend going to Cologne, of course, in Germany, by the way. Underrated place. Very, very good. Chris Waring, thank you very, very much for your time. Did you end up booking those flights, by the way?
No, I actually got the price wrong. It was $3,700, not $2,700. So I was like, that's a little bit too much. But I am on the look. I've got a few places in mind. I'm thinking of doing something very soon.
Just to get away from the podcast for finals. That'll be perfect. Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Just like the Tigers, I'll fuck off immediately once the season starts, the postseason starts.
and Kieran, thank you very much for your time tonight. Enjoy the football on Thursday night, even though they're not full strength teams. You might see some good footy still.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, as I said, I think it'll be high scoring, so hopefully that happens.
Good luck to both teams, of course, and good luck to Miles Stedman just getting through the day today, and good luck to the Big E enjoying himself with the Sunshine Coast Scorchers right now. Thank you for your contribution, the Big E. And good luck to Daniel Friend and his lovely fiancée, Shell, like we mentioned earlier. With your wedding day coming up this weekend, very proud of you, mate. And we look forward to hearing from you when you are back, whenever that may be. And until then... Above the Horizontal is a rugby league podcast by the fans and for the fans. It's produced by our entire team of former writers for Real Sport, including Daniel Friend, Christopher Waring, Miles Stebbin, Kieran Gibson, and me, Bo Nicholson. We'd love it if you could support us by telling a rugby league fan about us so they can go above the horizontal as well. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Art changes over time. This might feel weird to say because the art itself doesn't physically change, but if we agree that art tells us something about the world around us, what happens to that art once the world has changed? This is the question we try to answer on Movieversaries, a film podcast on the We Made This Network. I'm the host, Bo Nicholson, and in each episode, my guests and I celebrate and reevaluate films on significant anniversaries. We examine films from all over the world through a critical lens to determine if they stand the test of time by exploring their themes, performances, and techniques. This year, our focus is on movies made in years ending in 3.
So far, we've covered the avant-garde classic Meshes of the Afternoon from 1943. On the other end of the spectrum, how does the technical marvel Jurassic Park hold up 30 years later? We also delve into other iconic films of their time, such as King Kong from 1933, Eight and a Half from 1963, and Return of the Jedi from 1983. From European art house to action, comedy, and horror, if a film is celebrating a significant anniversary, we're discussing it. Don't miss out. Subscribe to Movieversaries now, wherever you get your podcasts.